All right, Hosea chapter 2. We started last week, series, and tonight we'll look at chapter 2, just the first part of chapter 2, knowing the heart of God, and I think we see the heart of God through the book of Hosea. And of course, the book of Hosea is a picture of God and Israel's relationship. And so we'll talk a lot about that tonight. And the brokenhearted prophet Hosea, it was picked to not just to be a prophet, not to just foretell what was going to happen, but to actually go through it himself in such a way, in a family matter. He married a wife of whoredom and had children. And we'll look, and of course he had three children, Jezreel, and then we'll look at the names of the other ones here in a little bit, Ammi and Rahama, and we'll see that how God used those children to picture what he was going to do with Israel. We'll look at that here tonight. So, in verse 1 of chapter 2, say ye unto your brethren, Ammi, and to your sisters, Rahama, plead with your mother. Plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredom out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. Verse 3 says, lest I strip her naked, and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And so, when you read this book, you kind of go, if you don't know what's going on, it could be kind of a weird book. You know, you ever read Song of Solomon, sometimes you go, whoa, what does that mean? And a lot of times you got to kind of have the context. What is God saying through the life of Hosea? Well, he's saying to Israel, Israel, I love you. Even though you have gone after other gods, even though that you serve idols and you have offered things to Baal and other things like that, I still love you. And matter of fact, if you want to kind of give a title to chapter 2, it is The Pursuit of God's Love. The pursuit of God's love stops at nothing. Isn't that amazing that God loves us that much? That His pursuit of His love for us is unending. And so God paints Israel as an adulterous wife who is no longer worthy to be compared to as a wife. Now, when it uses the names of Ammi and Rahama there in verses 1, you see that there's no lo. A word lo is what we would call the word no. And so here in chapter 1, they meant that there was that you're not my people. And also that Rahama means that you can't obtain pity or no mercy. And now we're taking off of that first part of their names. And it gives us kind of an insight to their to who he's talking to here, specifically God. He's talking to those who were amongst the Israelites at this time, who were actually still doing right. By the way, not all Israel was all fitting the bill of adulterers and fornicators. That wasn't the whole nation. It was as a kind of a top there. God said all of them are. But he, you know what he's saying? That in the majority, there's the word I was looking for. Said all that to say majority. So the majority of them were sinning. And here's what he was saying, that amongst you there are some who still have mercy. There are some amongst you who are still my people, and you are the ones I'm trying to get a hold of, and tell your mother or tell the nation Israel. The children were a picture of the people of Israel, but really Gomer was a picture, which was Hosea's wife, was a picture of the nation of Israel. And so when you think about that, he says, I want you that are amongst the nation that are still right, that are still trying to do good, you go tell the nation to do what? Plead with her. Notice he says it twice, to plead with her. Aren't you glad you have a God that when we go wayward and we get back sin, that God comes and pleads with us? And he pleads with us through the Holy Spirit of God. So tonight we'll talk about the pursuit of God's love, and we'll give you a few things tonight about knowing the heart of God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night. God, it sure is good to know that you love us tonight and know that you would pursue us even in a backslidden condition. That you would come and that you would love us and that you would plead with us. Help us to see the true picture that's here in Hosea. I pray, God, that you'd enlighten us. And I pray, God, that you would just give us, Lord, the knowledge and wisdom that we need tonight. We love you, Lord, and ask you to bless. In Jesus' name, Amen. So, as we see in verse 2, look there. He said, plead with your mother. Plead, for she is not my wife. So, we're going to look at, number one, a relationship that is rent. A relationship that is rent. In other words, a relationship that has been severed for the time being. Hosea and Gomer must have had some time that they were together, but now she went back to her lifestyle. She went back to other lovers, and the Bible said that she pursued those lovers and that she went after them. And here is the picture of God and Israel. And here's a picture of us and God tonight also, if you want to put it to us tonight, that here goes Gomer as she goes after her other lovers. She goes, as the Bible says, after whoredom. In other words, she's going to somebody she's not married to. That's what happened to Israel. Israel should have been married to God and should have had a relationship with God, but they went after other gods. It's amazing. We're going to talk about this here in a little bit. But God provided all their needs and He took care of them and loved them. You say, well, that would never happen to me. Look all over America. Parents that love their kids and their kids go, whew. Look at churches that love people and care for people. Most of the time, it's the ones you take care of the most are the ones that, whew. Isn't that something? And by the way, that could be us. That could be me. That could be you. Is that what happens in life and what happens in society today is that sometimes the more you love people, the more you care for them, sometimes they still go because they have to make the decision. I believe that God loved Israel with an unconditional love, just like He loves us today. But we see that a relationship here is going to be rent. A relationship is going to be broken here. And God has put Israel now on the back burner because of this sin. And because of them going after other gods. And here we see that in Jeremiah, I want to give you this. If you want to go back and just write this down, Jeremiah chapter 3. Go back and read Jeremiah chapter 3. Now, Jeremiah is the weeping prophet to Judah, the southern kingdom. And he pleads with them. And here's what he says about Israel to Judah. He says, Judah, if you're not careful, you're going to be just like Israel. And here's what he says about them. In Jeremiah 3, I'll read just a few of these verses. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 1 says, they say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again unto me, saith the Lord. The Lord's saying, come back to me. I know you've gone and you've done some things, but I'll take you back. Hello? That's God saying that. The Lord said, return unto me. Well, here's what He said in verse 6 of the same chapter. He said, the Lord said also unto me in those days of Josiah the king. By the way, Josiah came in and he took away all the idols and tried to rid the land of all those things. But one thing he could not do, he could not rid the hearts of the people. By the way, you take away all the things from your kids, but if it's in their heart, that you can't take that. God has to do that. And some things are in it. But here's what he says. Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel have done? In other words, here's the weeping prophet Jeremiah saying, I have an example for you. The Assyrians came and took away Israel because of the same thing we're talking to you about. By the way, there's always an example, isn't there? Don't you like that when you was young? When your parents would use you as an example to the other sibling? Well, guess what? I was the younger one. My mom would say, you see what happened to your brother? My brother didn't turn out good in the first part of his life. She said, you see what, or she would, I would see him get a spanking, I've been real little, and she'd say, see, you want the same thing. No, ma'am. Don't want that. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Some of you have a lot of siblings. Usually, by the time you get to, one of the, three down the line, they probably have got it by then because they've seen enough from the older brothers and sisters. But here's what God said. Here's what Jeremiah was saying. He says, hast thou not seen which backsliding Israel have done? She is gone up into every high mountain and every green tree and have played the harlot. Then he said in verse 8, I had to read this and I love this one. Here's what he said again. He just specifically says, and I saw for all the cases whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement, yet her treacherous sister Judah feareth not, but went and played the harlot also. The same thing that the northern kingdom did, the southern kingdom ended up doing, and they all begin to be taken into captivity. Why? Because God had warned them and warned them and warned them and said, stop it. He pleaded with them. He loved them and He loved them, and they still went out and did the same thing. So there was a relationship rent. Number two, there's a reminder of restitution. Look at verses 3 through verse 5. He said, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born. In other words, that means she has nothing. By the way, all that you have, God gave you that. And God can take it away. Amen? I was thinking about the Lopez the other day, but their house, you know, roof got taken off. And man, you just this that quick. When I was in second grade, we had gone away. My dad was a professional bowler, so we were away on a tournament. Came home and I saw fire trucks and stuff like that, and I was like, well, it looks like that's where we live. And we got there, and we lived in a trailer because we were true Southerners. That way, if you get mad at the property, you just move it. That thing was burnt to the ground. The only thing I ever found, I had a banjo at that time, and all I found was the ring that went around the banjo and some strings, and we had no clothes, we had no food, we had nothing. I remember sitting and my uncle was there. This is back in the day before cell phones. So you had to get home to find out what had happened. Yeah, nobody had, you know, we were traveling. So when we got there, I remember sitting in my uncle's truck. He had an S10 truck. I never will forget. I don't know why I remember that. It was cold and I was sitting in there with the heater on and just crying because I had nothing. We had a bag with just a change of clothes in it because we had stayed overnight somewhere. And we had nothing, you know. You begin to be thankful. I can remember that we had got a little camper and stayed in right there on the property, and I remember the best toys I ever had in my life were called sticks. I mean, you know why I love sticks? Because they could be anything I wanted them to be. But I never will forget, I was in second grade, and I went to school that next week, and the school had gotten together and got me a whole bunch of things. And I don't remember a lot about my childhood, but I remember they got me a dartboard and got me some trucks to play with. What else does a man need? And I never will forget that. It was, you know, just those things that I was more appreciative of those things. And God's saying here through the voice of Hosea to his wife, He's saying, I can come in there and I can take everything away. And by the way, if you go whoring after other gods and you go and you get back sitting so far, God will strip you and God will take things away from you to get your attention. Amen. You may, I read this today and I thought this was so great. You can read Matthew Henry's commentary on this chapter, and I did. I read the whole thing today because it was just very intriguing. And this is one thing that Matthew Henry has said, is that God, when He deals with you, He will get your attention any way He can. And he told us in the commentary there, and there were some other commentaries that kind of said the same thing, that sometimes you don't know who you're affecting when you go backsliding, because God can take away people around you. And God can affect not only you, but those who live in your household. And that's why we better be careful, make sure that we are the spiritual head of the house. We should never rely on our wife to be the spiritual head of the house. We should never rely on our wives to make sure, honey, you make sure you're reading your Bible, because I'm not. That would be foolish. Make sure that you're the one that's getting up and reading your Bible, praying for your family. That's your duty as a father, as a husband. And I believe as families join together and they have that attitude of wanting to learn more about the Scriptures and wanting to be a family unit, I believe God blesses that. And make sure that your house is on track. But we see a reminder of restitution. Got to get back to it. Verse 3 says, let's strip her as the day she was born and make as a wilderness. That means to take all those things that she could have and make it a wilderness. You know what's in a wilderness? Nothing. As that desert place. And set her like a dry land. And slay her with what? Thirst. One of the worst things in the world is to be thirsty. Me and Danya's brother went fishing one time. We were wading a creek. And we waded a creek, and it was hot. We were in Florida. And we were catching fish, and we had forgot about one main thing: to carry water with us. Well, we both look at each other and look at the water we're standing in and go, it's water. Still alive today. When you get thirsty enough, you will do crazy things. trust me. I was like, you just kind of just knock the stuff off top and just get you a handful and go for it. And man, I tell you what, my stomach was so strong that day. It was like, you know, and you know, my ear began to talk to me, you know, began to see visions and not really. But we see that he was going to make her thirsty. In other words, make her desire what she doesn't have. Not bad things, but good things. Shouldn't that be us? If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Bible says we shall be filled. But notice what he says in verse 4. He says, I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She hath that conceiveth them have done shamefully. She said, I will go after my lovers. That pursuit of her lovers. She says, and that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil, my drink. She says, I'm going to go after my lovers. Notice what she says. I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water. In other words, she's thinking that all the good things that she's got in her life came from those who were not part of her family. If we're not careful, we can look on the other side of the fence. I love going around here and watching the cows have their heads through the fence. I was over at Alliance Town Center. They have some longhorns in there. And I saw one get his head through there. And I don't know how in the world he got her back in there. But I mean, you know, whatever the wingspan of that thing was, it was pretty good. But, you know, I was looking out there. I was like, well, where he's at is pretty green, just as green as it is on the other side. But if we're not careful, we'll think that things outside of this world are fueling us and filling us instead of God. Every good thing comes from the Lord. The money you have in your wallet is not because you went to work and made that money. It was because God gave you that job and allowed you to have the health to go and work and earn that money. When you start seeing things like the Bible tells us to see things, it makes a difference in our life. But here's what God said He was going to do. Here's the restitution part of it. He said, therefore, behold, in verse 6. Notice this. Verse 5 still. Notice what He says. He says, for their mother hath played the harlot, she hath conceived. He said, and she said, I will go after my lovers that give me bread and my water and my wool. Hosea had provided all these things for her. Hosea was the one who had provided these things for her. She took those things from the family that was home and used it for idol worship, as we'll see in verse 8. All of those things that he told her in verse 8, he says, notice what he said in verse 8. He says, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. The things that she used for Baal worship was the things that he had given her, that he had provided for her. You ever just lose sight of the blessings of God? We all do, don't we? And then you kind of go without nothing. And God reminds you that it's Him. Sometimes in our life, the greatest days are those desert days. Those dry days. Reminding us that God's the one that gives. That God's the one that reinstates us. That God's the one that sustains us. That God's the one that gives it to us. Now I'll show you the last thing tonight, verses 6 and 8. A restriction to rebellion. I love this one. Verse 6. A restriction to rebellion. This is the love of God here. He said, therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. Here's what Hosea said. And this is the interpretation of Hosea and Gomer. In other words, what he said, I'm going to go ahead of you. And I'm going to find those lovers that you're going after, and I'm going to tell them, I'm Hosea, I'm her husband. Who are you again? Oh, I'm not messing with her. He starts going around town reminding them, hey, here's who I am. He's hedging it up. He's putting a hedge of thorns about it, making a wall. In other words, when in verse 7 she says, "And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. And she shall say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then will it be better with me than now." Now let's interpret that to us. Aren't you glad God puts boundaries in our life? And God restricts the rebellion. By the way, He restricts the rebellion to a certain extent. There's some people, they want to keep going. They want to keep going. But I'm glad that whenever you go out here and you try to get in rebellion and you try to rebel on God, that electric poker gets you, called the Holy Spirit. Right? And you try to go over here and you're trying to get into this mess over here, and all of a sudden, pow, it shocks you again. Amen. You ever seen the cattle, the whatever it may be in the electric fence? How close will they get to that fence? As close as they can. Or when they first put it up, it's fun to watch them, right? My uncle used to have some goats, and those goats would chew up anything and everything. They would climb out, jump out, fly out. At least it seemed like it. He put an old Volkswagen out there. They ate everything in that car but the metal. You'd go out there and they'd be standing on the roof going. You go out there another day, one would be inside of it, going, just looking out. It was amazing. We loved to watch those goats, but he finally had put up electric. They lived in Alabama, up in northern Alabama, and they were on a slope, and those goats would get underneath that thing, and they would just chew. They wouldn't go far. They just wanted to go over there and chew something else up. And it was funny, when he first put that fence up there, they'd go over there and try to get out, and bam! You'd see them, oh, like a dog. Like, what just happened? But aren't you glad God does us that way? That old electric Holy Spirit sending that electricity through your heart and that conviction in your heart. Hosea had said that he would hedge her up and that he would go and he would make walls for her. He had sought her. He had went ahead of her and tried to cut her off at the pass. And just like God in His pursuit of us in His love and mercy and with grace that He pursues us. And even though when we rebel against Him, He starts hemming us in. God starts closing doors and starts making things happen in your life. I'm here tonight because God did that to me. I got saved at the age of 16 and I rebelled at the age of 16. It's about a month later. I lasted longer than that. But it was amazing in my life that I had a little time where it just kind of went like this. Man, God just started closing some things in my life and just started closing things over here. And just begin to funnel me back to Him. Now there's people that buck against it. And God will keep trying to hem you in and put those walls up around you and try to help you and protect you, even in a time of rebellion. How many of us would be here tonight if our parents said, well, just let them go? Probably none of us, right? Aren't you glad? I'll tell you, I had the most merciful mother I'd ever seen in my life. My brother, he went out there, he saved a day in the ministry. Praise the Lord for that. All of y'all know that. But my brother was, my brother would come in at night and he'd come in drunk. And I shouldn't even tell you all these stories, but it's funny to tell him now that he's saved. He'd come in, I'd hear him come in, and he was a teenager, and he'd come in drunk and I'd hear Mama. She'd go in there and I loved it. I shouldn't tell you all this story, but I got to tell you, I could hear him in there. Usually when somebody gets too drunk, they usually throw up. I'll use that word. Vomit, as the scripture says in Jonah. My mama would do this to him. Here's a rag. You're going to clean this up. I remember times when he wouldn't come home. Guess what she'd do? She'd get in her car. She'd go try to find him. And I'm in there going, this is every weekend. Mama get in that car. She'd go try to find him. She'd go out there and find where he's at, get him in the car, take him home. Well, that's a loving mother, isn't it? But think how much my mom loved my brother, and that's why my brother's saved today, is because of love of God, obviously, and the love of grandmother. My grandmother was the same way, by the way. You'd miss church. I tell people this all the time. You miss church, she wouldn't call and say, hey, where were you at today? And you'd say, oh, I was sick. Or you'd say, oh, I just wasn't able to make it. Here's what she'd say next. Why wasn't you able to make it? You say, well, I just wasn't. Well, what stopped you from coming? I mean, she was like, she should have been an interrogator for the FBI. She'd get you to confess things you hadn't even done. Like, she was up in there. I mean, she could get in your mind. But she was what she was trying to do is hem her grandkids in. And that's why she has 4 grandkids today in full-time ministry, and most of all her grandkids are in church today. It's because she kept trying to hem them in, and because she loved them, and she cared for them. But how much more does God love us tonight? That He's willing to put those road signs and those barricades up and say, no, you're not going here. God gives us liberty, and God lets us go in that way of rebellion. But God doesn't let us go without Him loving us and without Him warning us and without Him giving us grace and mercy. And I think, Michael Wiggins, how could you ever backslide on somebody who loves you so much? How could I ever leave someone who loves me more than anybody on this earth? True love is not when things are going well. True love is when things are not going well. A marriage is never defined by the good days. A marriage is defined by the days that are trying. I read this also today. This was on something I read. It said a church is never tried by good attendance. Church is tried when things aren't there. Where are you tonight? What do you seek after tonight? Here she was in verse 8 again. Let's read it. It says, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil mingled with her silver and gold, which they had prepared. Notice what he said, that he would go and that he would seek after her, and that what she had was not what those lovers were giving her. That's what he had give her. And she had used it on Baal worship. But he said, still love you. Still pursued her. Tonight, I just want to challenge you. By the way, backslidden doesn't mean you're out of church. That's such a term that people say, well, if they're out of church, they're backslidden. You know, that's really not necessarily always the dangerous people. It's the people that sit in the church pew that are backslidden. And tonight, you physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever, can be backslidden from the Lord. You ought to check and say, Lord, am I right where you need me to be? And by the way, I'm glad you're here because you're in a good place. Hallelujah for that. One of the biggest, pastor can say this, one of the worst backslidden condition I was ever in was in Bible college. We tell them guys that all the time, don't we, pastor? Because they get so used to the routine. Well, I'm getting scripture, I must be good. Don't have to do it on my own now. I get it every day. And what happens, you begin to just slide back. You say, what's backslidden? Back sliding. It's very simple. Where are you? Are you where you need to be with the Lord? If you're not, if you backed up, you slid back, come back to Him because He loves you. Amen. I used to always love going to church, and my grandmother always sat in the same spot every year, every day, every Sunday, every service. And I loved it when I got there just to hear her say, I love you. Glad you're at church today. But you know what? Whenever I wasn't at church, she'd say, I still love you. But why wasn't you at church today? You know what? That many times caused me to go, man, she loves me. Whether I'm in church or out of church, she still loves me. But how much greater was that fellowship with her whenever I was at church? And in the will of God, how much sweeter is our fellowship with Him. Let's stand tonight. Father, we love You. We thank You for the night. And God, thank You for loving us with an unconditional love tonight. And Lord, I don't know the state of Your folks here tonight. I know me. And Lord, I ask that You forgive me. And Lord, that You would just draw me closer to You than ever before. God, tonight, I thank You for loving me. And Lord, and all of us tonight, when we step away, when we swerve, when we, Lord, go down the wrong path, Lord, You just begin to put up those roadblocks and You begin to work on our heart. And Lord, I thank You for that. And I ask that You would just, through the message tonight, that You would deal with Your folks accordingly to Your will and Your way. In Jesus' name, amen, Pastor.